Thank you, Hank. So my name is Shuotan. I'm going to talk about some of my recent research on improved browser security by building a new browser operating system. This is joint work done with Hao Hui and my advisor, Sam. Today, the web is ubiquitous. We use web applications to do email, banking, social networking, video, pretty much everything. To support those web applications, we use different kind of web browsers running on different kind of operating systems. However, there are attacks at different layers in this computer stack. At the top layer, we have web app vulnerabilities. We would like to compare it to beastings. It's quite common, and unless you are allergic to it, it's not very serious. For example, if you have a cross-site scripting attack at ESPN.com, it's no big deal. I personally don't even log into ESPN.com. But if it happens at your bank website, you may have a big problem. Move down one layer in this computer stack, we have browser vulnerabilities. We would like to compare it to snake bites. It's nice common, but it does happen. I personally have been bitten by a snake, and I remember it very well. If the attacker takes control over your browser, it has access to all the information of any web applications running inside it, or it can use it as a gate to access other parts in your operating system. At the lowest layer, we have OS and library vulnerabilities. We would like to compare it to shark bites. It's less common than snake bites, but I guarantee that once it happens, you probably won't have a chance to remember it. If the attacker can exploit a bug in OS or library, he pretty much has control over your whole computer system. And in fact, in last year, the most attacked vulnerability in the whole computer system is a remote code execution bug in Windows kernel. All those vulnerabilities are very important. We need to prevent all of them. But one point I want to make here is the lower layer the attacker can have access to, the more control he will have over your whole computer system, the more devastating damage he can cause. And then in this talk, we will focus on defending at the lower layers. We want to defend against browser, OS, and library vulnerabilities. People have been using those insecure modernistic web browsers for a long time, such as Firefox on top of Windows. Those web browsers run everything in a single address space. If any parts get exploited, the whole system is in danger. So people are not quite satisfied with this kind of status. Researchers and industrial people build more secure web browsers, such as OP or Google Chrome on top of Linux. They borrow ideas from OS design to introduce the concept of browser kernel to manage all the browser-related resources and make security decisions. And they also run different web applications in different address spaces to provide isolation and contain attacks. However, those more secure web browsers still run on top of traditional OS, still include all the crafts in traditional OS in the trusted computing base. If the Linux is compromised, the secure web browser is still in danger. So people might say, we have a micro kernel. We can remove all those OS services and device drivers out from our kernel space. Of course, it provides better isolation, provides better fault tolerance. But those OS services and the device drivers are still fundamentally shared in any parts of the system. If any of them is compromised, it still compromises the whole security of the system. For example, if the TCP/IP network stack is compromised, the attacker can tamper with any network connection you have or send the insensitive information over to a third party. To improve the security of web browsing further, we proposed the Illinois Browser Operating System, short as iBOS. Our goal is to design a new operating system to make one single application, the web browser, as secure as possible. We push the browser abstractions all the way down to the OS kernel, and on top of the by using those browser abstractions, we're able to remove those shared OS services and device drivers out from our trusted computing base to provide a simplified but yet secure web browsing environment. So in the remaining of my talk, I will first talk about iBOS architecture. Then I will talk about the security environments we introduced in iBOS and how we apply them to our system. I will give you some evaluation results and then conclude. Shown here is a full architecture of iBOS. The red parts, iBOS kernel, and the hardware make up our trusted computing base. In the kernel, we make the browser abstractions, the first class OS abstractions. On top of these abstractions, the UI, storage, network process provide services. And on top of the browser abstractions, we have web page instance running HTML and JavaScript engine to run web applications. And we also support traditional applications on top of Unix layer. By having those browser abstractions, the iBOS kernel is able to understand what an HTTP connection is, what a cookie is, what a type is. So we can maintain the browser security even if some of the untrusted components are compromised. In another word, we want the user to visit a trusted website securely at any time. So we introduced the secure environment to improve the security of iBOS. So what environment is? Different people have different definition of environments. The network people have their definition of environment. And the formal method guy have their own definition of environment. And here's an example of real-world environments. See fireworks on 4th of July. People don't really care about how they see the fireworks in the sky. No matter if it's a boy, use a match to light it up, or in this Google Doodle, Rube Goldberg machine, someone kicks a football, the bird flies out, and eventually, the arrow lights the fireworks. As long as the people see the fireworks in the sky, they know everything is fine. In iBOS, we use security environments to define a series of security properties we want to have in the system, so we can check key properties without understanding those untrusted components' implementation details. The key challenge here is how the decomposing browser into small subsystems and having these browser abstractions can help us checking those security properties. So before talk about how we apply those security environments, I will first talk about iBOS label. iBOS label is browser-related label. It basically is origin, consists of protocol, domain, and port. iBOS label will label those web applications, network process, and traditional apps. One important point here is those labels are inferred and labeled by the kernel instead of relying on those components to label themselves, so that even if a web application is compromised, the kernel still has the right information about where those web applications come from. So first thing, we need to isolate web applications. For different web applications, google.com and cs.uiuc.edu, we will create two different web page instances to provide isolation. And upon the creation of those instances, we will label them according to their origin. Showing here is Google and UIUC, but in the real system, it's really the origin, protocol, domain, and port. Even if we isolate the web applications, they still share some network resources. So what if those two web applications all use some advertisement from ads.com? So we also want to isolate the network process. Shown here is four different network processes serve the network requests. Each network process have two different labels. The first label I show in this picture specify the web page instance that is able to access this network process. The second label specifies the website this network process is able to communicate with. By separate web page instance and the network process, we are able to make a different security decision on them. For example, for web page instance, we can enforce that a web page instance for Google can only use JavaScript to access a cookie that is for google.com. And for network process, we can make sure that a network process designed to communicate with ads.com can only communicate with ads.com. To make sure that the network process can only communicate with ads.com, we have this split driver architecture. Shown here is a network process run a full TCP IP stack and a simple network interface card driver and the IBOS kernel manage all the DMA buffer and a simple leak driver verification logic. So every time a web page instance make an HTTP request, the network process will pass the request and form the Ethernet frame and pass it over to the IBOS kernel. The IBOS kernel will then check TCP and TCP port and IP address so that they make sure the IP address is belong to ads.com. So if everything is okay, the IBOS kernel will form this DMA buffer and transfer it to the leak driver. You need to notice here, the DMA buffer resides in the IBOS kernel instead of in the leak driver, so the leak driver actually cannot access the content of the DMA buffer. So the leak driver will then program the transmit buffer and trying to send it to the network card. After verify that the transmit buffer is valid, the IBOS kernel will allow this transmission. We also have a basic frame buffer driver to improve the security of display. A frame buffer is basically a big chunk of memory corresponding to each pixels in the screen. In IBOS, each component is responsible for rendering its own content with software rendering techniques. We are able to split the screen into three horizontal parts. As you can see, this is IBOS. The topmost is the black with a black background. It's a small area reserved for kernel. Only the kernel can access. Currently, the kernel will show some visual information to the user. Currently, the kernel will show the current URL of the current web applications. The next part is the global state of the browser, such as the address bar, the bookmarks, and the titles of the tabs, some called browser Chrome. The next biggest part, you can see what the presentation, where the presentation is a region reserved for the web application. Because we use those basic frame buffer driver, we are able to use page table protection to make sure that the browser Chrome, the UI manager, cannot access the display area of web application, so we can provide strong isolation. So tab is a very important notion in IBOS. It's part of the basic API. The IBOS kernel knows what a tab is, knows what the current web application is. The IBOS kernel will enforce that only the current web application can access the display of the screen. And it also makes sure that all the UI events, such as keyboard or mouse events, will be routed to the current web application so that the attacker cannot implement something like keylogger in other web application to steal your password. We also have a secure storage architecture. Basically, we encrypt everything before send it over to the storage stack. There are more details in the paper, and I'm not going to talk about it here. IBOS is implemented on top of I4 Pistachio, uses MMU abstraction and a message passing interface. We implement a E1000 Ethernet driver, a mouse and keyboard driver. We also implement the simple frame buffer driver and use Qt software for rendering. we port a WebKit and a Qt framework to our system. Our current Unix-like API is using libstage runtime and the Qt framework. The current traditional apps are Qt applications. The only plugins that we have right now is a PDF viewer. So in iBoss, our goal is to design a new OS to make a browser more secure. So we assume that the attacker can execute arbitrary instruction in any of the untrusted components, such as the traditional applications, the web applications, or the network process. We focus on provide confidentiality and integrity. Availability, such as denial of service attack, is very important, but it's beyond the scope of this talk. So to see how we reduce TCP for web browser in iBoss, we compare it to two different commercial operating systems. We measure the TCP size using length of code. Shown here is a TCP size for Firefox on Linux and Google Chrome OS and iBoss. And we also show some major components that are included in the TCP. You can see from this table that iBoss have two orders of magnitude fewer lengths of code than those two other systems. I'm not here to say that you don't have any techniques to make those Linux kernel more secure. But because iBoss only have around 40,000 lines of code, that means it's possible that we can manually review the whole TCP of iBoss, or even use some formal method to verify the whole TCP. So we want to show how the reduced TCP help iBoss to improve the operating system security. To do this, we examine a list of 28 vulnerability in Linux, GTK, and GDPC, and X Server. Because those shared OS services and device drivers are removed out from our trusted computing base, we're able to prevent 27 out of 28 of those vulnerabilities. The only vulnerability we didn't catch is a bug in the Linux E1000 driver verification logic. As I said before, the verification logic resides in iBoss kernel, so we count it against us. But normally, the bugs in device driver, iBoss should be, it's a bug in device driver, iBoss should be able to prevent it. We also want to show that iBoss improves the browser security in its browser components. To do this, we compare iBoss against Google Chrome and examine a list of 175 vulnerabilities published in Google Chrome bug track. Overall, you can see the iBoss improves the prevent and contain ratio from 46% in Chrome to 77% in iBoss. The first category we look at is memory exploitation bug. Google Chrome run web application in a rendering engine and run network stack logic, storage logic in the browser kernel. If those memory exploitation bug resides in the rendering engine, Google Chrome is able to contain it. But if the bug happens in the Google Chrome browser kernel, Google Chrome is not able to contain it. But in iBoss, because we remove all those network stack storage system out from our trusted computing base, we're able to prevent 8 more vulnerabilities, which are actually the vulnerabilities in Google Chrome browser kernel. The second type of vulnerability I want to talk about is sandbox backpassing. Google Chrome uses Coast OS sandbox techniques to restrict the render engine to be the exactly authority they need. But those rule-based sandbox techniques such as SC Linux is very complex and error-prone. And sometimes the attack can use some sophisticated way to bypass those sandbox. But in iBoss, because we have those specifically designed OS abstractions for web browser, we know exactly what a subsystem in IBOS needs. We can restrict the authority of those subsystems in a simple but efficient way, and we are naturally immune to this kind of attacks. We also want to show that IBOS performs reasonably well compared to other browser systems. Shown here is the page load latency time for four different web browsers. The page load latency time is defined as the time period between the first request of URL and the firing of DOM on node event. Shown here is IBOS, IBOS Linux, Firefox, and Google Chrome. The performance in different colors. The IBOS Linux here means we migrate the browser component design to Linux platform. So we can have an apple to apple comparison of the IBOS kernel to Linux kernel. In the y-axis, we show the average page load latency in milliseconds. So that means the lower the bar is, the better the performance is. In x-axis, we show six different websites we tested. Overall, you can see IBOS performed roughly the same to those other more mature web browsers. There are certainly some up and down here, and we have some hypotheses in the paper. The only thing I want to talk about here is CS and ULUC. You can notice here, IBOS is the slowest in this website. It's embarrassing. We let others beat us on our own website. I guarantee that next time you see these slides, I will make IBOS the fastest. Even if I make changes to my department website specifically for IBOS. So here comes the conclusion. We use browser abstraction as a first class OS abstractions. So we have a reduced trusted computing base for web browser. And the evaluation shows that we can withstand attacks to most of the components. So thank you, everyone. And thanks, IBOS, for letting me finish this talk without crashing for this 25 minutes. Any questions?
Hi, I'm Sriram from UBC. In terms of the graph that you showed with vulnerabilities and the performance of IBOS, does IBOS have the same functionalities as Chrome and Firefox?
Yeah, this is...
I mean, same JavaScript and execution functionality.
So your question is if IBOS have the same functionality of other modern web browsers, right?
Right.
So yes, actually. Actually, this slide is written in HTML5. So it's pretty fancy technicals.
Right, so when you showed the figures for Facebook, you also have figures for the number of JavaScript. So whatever, you know, the page load errors that were caused. So, you know, when you load a page in Facebook, you see a whole bunch of JavaScript errors because this was not defined, that was not defined, this is not compatible, and so on and so forth. So do you see the same, do you have any statistics that show that IBOS has equal or lower number of errors, or is it like, is it because IBOS is much better performing due to the fact that it doesn't support a whole bunch of key functionality that is present in Firefox and Chrome?
I think your question is if IBOS can support all the kind of websites, right?
Yep.
So actually, whether a web browser can support websites is depending on the HTML engine and the JavaScript engine it uses. In IBOS, we use WebKit, which is most likely the most standard web engine in the world. So we believe that we can support most of the popular websites. Of course, IBOS is still working in progress. It's an experimental project. We need to make more effort to make it compatible to websites.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, James Mickens from Microsoft Research. Mm-hmm. So in the past couple of years, we've seen several different papers looking at different browser architectures. And we always hear from, you know, the mainstream media that web pages are the future and everything's going to move towards the web model. But it seems like a lot of the work that's being done with web browsers, I mean, it's inherently core operating systems work. And we're adding more and more operating system primitives to the web browser infrastructure. So my question is, what do you think is fundamental about the web model that makes this browser research different from just sort of core, you know, here's another microkernel architecture work? You know, is there anything fundamental about the delivery model or the security properties or things like this? Or in 5 years, are we all just going to be talking about, you know, operating systems, the thing that runs our apps, and web pages are just another type of binary execution format?
So your question is, what's the right model? What's the right security model for web? Is that right?
Or fundamentally, what is it about the web or the browser architecture that makes it different than standard OS architectures? You know, why aren't we just talking about the thing that sits in between my executables, whether they be web pages or, you know, EXEs or whatever, and my hardware?
So in my opinion, the web browser has actually become the de facto operating system. So we use most of our time in web browser. So I think web browser is a very important application. So maybe it's time for us to borrow some ideas from OS design to make the web browser more secure, like isolate web applications to have specifically and explicitly security policies. I mean, I think the current security policies, such as same origin policy, is totally broken down in current web. I'm not quite satisfied with it. I hope that some guy like the Google, Microsoft, those big industrial company can propose like a more secure policy so we can support the eyeballs.
Thanks.
Hi, Bo from Fudan University. So I'm curious about the user experience. More specifically, can you zoom out eyeballs and coexist two friends together in one screen?
So can you repeat your question?
The user experience, for example, in Firefox, it's very easy to coexist two friends or maybe two browsers in the same screen.
Oh, so actually we choose this type display, but we currently don't support those windowed display.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Chris Hoblitzel, Microsoft Research. So did I understand correctly that the iBoss kernel is managing DMA and validating outgoing data?
Yes.
Is that specific to a particular device, network device, or is that general across all network devices?
It's currently we only support one network card, 31,000 network cards. But I believe that for most device drivers, if it uses DMA buffer, this mechanism should be like very general, but we might need to make some specific changes to different kind of devices.
Thank you.
Etienne Lasseur from UNISW and Nicta. My question is about cross-site scripting. Does the design inherently prevent cross-site scripting, or can you allow it in certain circumstances where it might be useful, for example, with Google Web Toolkit applications?
Can you repeat your questions?
Cross-site scripting attacks where you load JavaScript from separate domains on which the website is actually running, does iBoss actually prevent those sorts of attacks?
We don't actually prevent those cross-site scripting attacks, but if we have the right policy, we can contain those attacks. For example, if you look at the paper, we have a customized policy. If the bank website specify on which website the web application can communicate with, even if there is a cross-site scripting attack, it cannot send your cookie to a third party.
Right. I guess a simple question, is your presentation actually running on top of iBoss?
Yeah, it's iBoss. As I said before, it's iBoss.
Right. Cool.
Hi, Lerin from Splunk. It seems like you wrote the kernel as well as the app, the browser. Is there any reason why Firefox or Internet Explorer cannot run on top of iBoss?
I think if you redesign or change the Firefox rendering process or IE rendering process specifically using iBoss browser abstraction, I believe they can run it on top of iBoss.